I'm Eric.
I'm Matthew.
And this is Story Tap,
where my brother and I,
and a special guest,
try to tap the potential of a story by taking it all the way from concept to fully fledged pitch.
This episode,
Ratatouille 2, exactly what it sounds like.
So, do you, and also you, do you want to do a horror, like what we planned to do, the sci-fi horror? Or do we want to do Ratatouille 2? Ratatouille.
Ratatouille. I mean, how do you improve on perfection? Well, and the answer is you don't. You true. Add to it.
That could be a good lesson in making a sequel to something that was already good.
Yeah. That's true.
Or a great exercise in making Ratatouille 2 into a sci-fi horror film. Why not?
Well, the sci-fi horror film is inspired by Among Us. I realized earlier today, because I've told you, and I'm pretty sure I told you, Alec, about making an extended, well, that's not quite the same lesson. I was going to bring up how making an Apex Legends series could be really cool, but you couldn't make the main characters Pathfinder or any of the legends that are in Apex Legends. It would have to be another person coming in.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's
you could probably add to the game later after the movie, but
yeah. But I feel like that is maybe the same approach you would have to take making a sequel to something that you didn't make, you know? Like, the Mary Poppins Returns was... That might be a bad example, because Disney's kind of dope when it comes to... when they really want to make a sequel good. But it didn't just pick up immediately where the last one left off. And this is a bad example, the more I think about it.
They were also made, like, 50, 60 years apart.
Exactly. But what I'm getting at is, like, She-Ra is what I'm most invested in recently. So, if someone came to me and said, Eric, make the next season of She-Ra, I couldn't just pick up where they left off. You know, clearly what they were going for in the end of season 5 was, like, let's go to space, let's planet hop, and bring magic back to each planet individually. But that's what Noelle Stevenson, the showrunner and creator, would do. I can't do that. I'm going to make a show about maybe a smaller character, maybe introduce an entirely new character, and everyone else is like a side character playing more of a supporting role that is entirely conducive to where their character arcs ended before I got involved, you know? So if I were to make Ratatouille, and I'm not saying that as T-W-O, I'm saying that as T-O-O, just to make it awful. If I were to make Ratatouille 2, it would not necessarily be about Remy and Linguini and all of that. It might be a
about the buff rat.
It's about the big buff rat. I guess if I were to make that, I would just concede defeat from the get-go, and it would be Emile's new groove. It would be Kronk's new groove.
I don't hate it.
There might be something there. Matthew, what do you think? You're the residential Ratatouille expert.
I don't know.
Maybe what Emil discovers is that he loves fashion. That Emil wants to rise in the fashion world of Paris.
So like poetry rhymes.
His people are prejudiced against him because he's plus sized.
Oh yeah, then you get the angle, the flow climb as well. I like it.
It's weird. Honestly, this podcast could be called virtue signaling. White people, white men, virtue signaling.
Oh my gosh! Thank God we have Matthew.
So we had Chinese. A Latino on earlier.
We have
the residential Chinese Ratatouille expert.
You could call this episode 2.5 white men because I'm half Chinese.
Awesome. We could have Cameron on? Damn. All my friends are half
white. Yeah, the requirement is the guest has to be half white. The other half can also be white, but at least one half has to be.
Gosh. I'm kind of digging Ratatouille 2. I mean, oh gosh, we would get such hate because we would get... Because the first one was so well done about cooking, pun intended, after the fact, retroactive intention. It was so well executed and so in tune with the philosophy behind cooking and having a passion for specifically cooking, that to strike anything else, you would have to do it perfectly so as to distract everybody from this sequel to this cooking movie has nothing to do with cooking, you know? It could, no, because then all the characters from the last one, they would have nothing to offer the plot of, oh, I'm getting into fashion, or something besides cooking. Oh, well, that's a different world.
All right, well, Remy has a son, and his son...
I already hate it.
His son is vegan. Son wants to cook vegan food.
Oh, no. It could... The first one...
Brad wants to market protein powder.
Goodness.
It's just all of Remy's family seeing Remy's success and being like, wait, we can do that too. And then all of them trying
to open another restaurant and it's like Ratatouille misspelled and it just attracts American tourists.
They work in the Ratatouille themed restaurant at Euro Disney. Very cool.
This is just becoming another idea about corporations telling you how evil corporations are.
No, yeah, our last
spend
idea.
Money on toys.
Our last idea was dope. I shouldn't just explain it because that would be too much time spent on something else. Are we doing the sci-fi horror? Because this is going almost nowhere.
Yeah, I feel like we should. Maybe
when has there been a film that was a sequel to a movie that wasn't designed to have a sequel that was good? That was good. Like, has that ever happened? Because I feel like there's a lot of
Toy Story.
I was going to say Toy Story. Because it's not necessarily that they were against a sequel. It's that like there's nothing there that's like a cliffhanger.
Yeah,
which is like Ratatouille. Okay. Let's dissect Toy Story to Toy Story 2 and just try and, you know, reach it or come up with a movie like methodically, you know, rather than grasping at ideas and pulling strings and trying to see what's good. So Toy Story 1, I mean, the vibe is totally different from Toy Story 1 to 2 in that Buzz versus Woody, it's about them going from foes to friends. The second one, they're just buds. They're just buds, and they, like, one of them gets lost, and it's about, like, rescuing him, and then there's...
Well,
you know.
Yeah, but I mean, it's got, like, an entirely different... Well, I suppose it has a similar underlying thing. Like, it's about Woody developing and then coping with this fear of no longer being wanted.
Yeah.
Not of being replaced, of just not being wanted anymore.
I think, yeah, that's good, because the lesson in both of them was, you know, like you said, coping with fear and like that. So they are tangentially related when it comes to, like, their lesson, their philosophy, kind of. So maybe the second one is, I'm going against my own advice, a sequel that is where Remy and maybe also Linguini are the main characters. And it's the movie, the philosophy and lesson are the same in that it is about following your passion no matter who you are, but it's not Remy's passion this time, it's somebody else. Maybe it's Emil, but it's something that he can't, like, vibe with. Well, maybe he disagrees with it, maybe he just doesn't understand it, you know? And so, maybe it's about, we couldn't strong arm it. We couldn't make it too in your face that Emil or his dad wants to do something and he's like, no, let's do cooking instead, because that would go against his character that was established in the first one.
I mean, I feel like there's a way to do this simply because that, okay, so Remy's whole arc is being able to follow his dream and become a great chef in Ratatouille. I feel like the logical subsequent like follow-up to that is having someone else do it differently and Remy resenting them for having an easier time of it for the work that he's already put in, making it possible for them to do the same thing and, in his opinion, not doing it right.
Rocky Balboa. Have you seen Rocky Balboa? That's not like just the character's name. That's like the
thing. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. It's... Have you seen it?
No. I've literally never seen a movie.
Rocky?
Rocky Balboa. There's Rocky 1, Rocky 2, 3, 4.
I've only ever
Balboa.
Seen Rocky 1.
Oh, okay. Because in Rocky Balboa, he gets like a... I tried to come up with the word for student, and so I went with pupil, and I was like, no, that's too, like, sensei. And so my backup word was going to be disciple. He gets a disciple. No, he gets a student, a boxing student at his gym, who is, like, so naturally gifted. And, like, he's not even a boxer anymore. He's a coach. And, of course, he goes back to boxing, but whatever. And it's Tommy Gunn. That's his name. The real guy's name was Tommy Morrison. He was an actual boxer. He was dope. Until... Not getting into that. But the deal is... he mismanages him a little bit. And Tommy ends up being, like, the heavyweight champion once he switches to a different manager. And then Rocky's like, ah, damn, I guess I am not a good manager, ergo I'm not a good person. But then when Tommy comes back, he's like a douche. And then Rocky realizes, like, no, I was right to manage you the way I did. Because even though you are the heavyweight champion, you are, like, a worse off person for it. So maybe it's something like that. Awkward silence.
Yeah, I mean,
sure. I just drop that and be like, huh? What do you think? Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I drop something so complicated and just expect y'all to be like, agree.
Yeah,
isn't that like kind of like the difference between like Colette and Remy? Like because Colette has her own set of challenges of how she got there, which is really interesting how they barely touch on that. But then Remy works for it. But he's really just has the good nose. And then, yeah. So he just kind of goes off quick. And, like, I guess you don't really see, like... Or maybe you do see Colette get, like, jealous. But that's another two passive, unexpected people. I don't know if the second movie would be about Colette. But
Girl Rat.
Yeah.
Girl Boss Rat. Oh, gosh. No, let's not get into that, because we're three dudes. We're two and a half white dudes. But, I mean, a good... If the
rat would be pink. To be clear, the rat would be pink and have, like, a slim waist.
And a bow on her head.
And a bow on her head, so that we all know that it is a girl rat.
The kitchen is no place for a girl rat. Get out of the kitchen. I do dig Girl Rat, whoever our new... I guess we would just make Rocky Balboa, but Rocky Ratatouille.
Rocky Ratatouille.
Ratatouille Balboa. Where, you know, Remy has become, like, the tutor. We could throw in a little Cars 3. You saw Cars 3. Right?
No, I've only seen Cars 1.
You've only seen Cars 1? Oh, damn. Cars 3 was dope. But is it okay if I spoil it for the sake of the podcast?
Yeah,
Spoiler alert for Cars 3.
My happiness isn't tied to the suspense.
So, it's Cars 3. If we mix Cars 3 and Rocky Balboa, that might be... that might be a little counterintuitive, because Cars 3 is about, like, passing the torch down. From Lightning to Cruz Ramirez, because the whole movie he's sort of in denial that he's past his prime. Mm-hmm. And Rocky Balboa, he's like, right from the get-go, he's like, I can't box anymore, I'm a coach now. So yeah, to have both of those would be either really tricky, or just people would realize right off the bat and realize that's counterintuitive. Mm-hmm. That would be really tricky. Something to think about, though.
Yeah, quick sidebar. Do you ever hear the sentences we say and wonder what the fuck is wrong with us? Because you just said, if we combine Cars 3 and Rocky Balboa...
It might be contradictory.
Just might.
Then I would say go heavier Cars 3 than Rocky Balboa.
Yeah, but the deal is,
he's not. Like,
what would
he's
happen? Would he lose
his... I don't know, spices like I used to.
Exactly. How do you, like, lose your edge? How do you get past your prime of being a chef? Like, Queenie
you
goes
can't
bald.
Do cocaine like you used
Wait,
to.
What, yeah.
When Queenie yeah, goes bald, he can't cook anymore.
So, yeah,
and it creeps Colette out when he's in her hair. They don't know how to tell anybody else about this.
That could be something. Linguini goes off to do something else, leaving Remy alone. And he has, like... And, like, he still knows how to cook, but, it's a lot easier with the human around. And so he has to, like... And so, you know, he thinks he's hot shit. And then I'm calling Cruz Ramirez, the girl rat, the up-and-comer, comes up and says, like, look, I want to be able to cook. And she's got the raw talent of, like, the nose and sense of smell and taste. And Remy's like, yeah, I'm hot shit. I can do this. And then he's sort of, this is so weird, blinded by his own hubris of he can puppeteer Linguini, and he tries to teach her how to do it. And he's like, no, you just, you ain't as dope as your boy. And then when Linguini goes off, and then Remy realizes he's kind of relied. This is so fucking weird. What am I doing right now? Oh my god.
Remy loses his flesh mech.
Exactly.
It could be a thing where Remy has had to survive under this guise of not actually being the cook. And then suddenly you have this... I guess Girl Rat is our new protagonist.
Let's call her... Cruz. Let's call her Cruz. Or you can just say Girl
Rat. No, it's Cruz.
It's just that... It's just that Girl Rat sounds a little patronizing when everyone else has a name.
I'm sorry.
We'll just call her for a second.
Manya Cruz.
Today, on the Ratatouille Fan Fiction Podcast.
This is the first time we have tackled just an outright sequel on the podcast, because because the way it usually goes is, and this is the format we originally wanted to go with, is we take a sequel idea and then we realize, oh, there's an original story in here, and it's a lot easier to tell it without conforming to the IP, mm-hmm. intellectual property. I don't know why I said that. of whatever was pre-established. So, okay, I like, basically 20 minutes later, all we have set in stone is the passing of the torch from Remy. I don't know, maybe it's him just admitting that someone else can be as good as him. Not that he's past his prime and someone else is better, it's that he's like, yeah, we're on the same level. And that he has something to learn from other people, because I want to lean more into Rocky Balboa than Cars 3.
I mean, was Remy ever like prideful as like his, like well, he never had an equal.
He'd never had a restaurant before either.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah.
Yeah, he gets the only real like character oversight he has. Is he gets a little reckless, but he doesn't necessarily get like prideful. So it would be really, it's really hard to. I mean, I think pride is the easiest direction to take his character, because we have to take it to a flawed place for some sort of character development, and I think pride is the way we.
I feel like after the story of Ratatouille, that is the most. That's where you go. That's the flaw that you go to. Is that it's like, look at me. I'm amazing. I'm a rat. I have a restaurant.
Get fucked. Where's your restaurant? You're not even a rat. Oh, gosh. Okay.
Rat-sterant.
Hmm. Okay. So there needs to be... I mean, Ratatouille... If there's ever a movie that I cannot make a sequel for, it's Ratatouille.
Oh, yeah. To do anything like this would be a sin.
Yeah, we're just having fun.
Yeah.
But we're trying our best. Because Ratatouille, like, if you were to tell me, like, five-act structure of any movie, I'm like, yeah, this is where this inciting incident, midpoint, climax, this, that. This is where everything happens. In Ratatouille, I could maybe do it, but it's too good that I stop thinking and I just enjoy, I sit and enjoy the movie. Huh. It's so novel, it's so original, it's so good. So, which is why we're pivoting and we're going to make Sword Art Online the movie. No.
No.
Okay, let's just start with... Oh, man. Okay, we have the setting, we have the tone, which tends to be the fun part to come up with, but let's come... We have to focus beginning, middle, end. How does it start? How does it go? How does it end? What is the inciting incident? How does the midpoint change anything? What is the climax? And the way I like to write movies is climax first. What is the big showdown slash performance that someone... The big decision at the end.
A cook-off. Remy actually has to prove he's a good chef against real human beings.
It is a contest judged by none other than Anton Ego. The greatest food critic in the history of Paris.
Céline Leclerc.
Maybe Céline Leclerc comes back for revenge.
Who is now? Who is the new Anton Ego?
Oh.
Because Anton Ego is nice now.
That could be pretty tight. Because that's a big theme in Atmos is the, like, you know, your successor or... It's not necessarily passing the torch. It's who comes next without you even realizing. It's like whoever comes next with or without your permission. You know? Like, it's not passing down the torch. It's just like, all right. It's Doc from Cars 1. It's the old beefy head.
Yes.
Future is now okay. Old man.
The future is now old man.
Yeah. So... It feels like a strong call to adventure. Leclerc, the revenge, Ratatouille, the revenge of Leclerc.
She, revenge of Leclerc.
She has, what's the phrase Ego uses? Condemned the Ratatouille to the tourist train.
Ooh. That could be good.
As a
delightful
but now derivative. Restaurant. It's done a lot, it's established a lot, but now it is a thing of the past.
Yes. Ah. Oh. And Remy's not, I don't want to age him up too much. He's not like old, but he's like, I don't know, adult, middle aged. Because like his age is ambiguous in the first movie.
Yeah.
So we'll just make him older in the second. And the passing of the torch, everyone like is. It's not that they're fine with it and they give up. It's that they acknowledge, you know, time goes on, nothing lasts forever. And everyone is, like, fine with that except Remy, you know? Oh, and then when he's training Girl Rat, he's making
Cruz Remier.
Yeah, Cruz Remier. He's making it about him, you know? He's like, you are going to preserve my legacy. You are going to, like, you will let Remy... You are the next step in the great long line of making Remy the Rat immortal.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Whereas,
and, you know, Ego is like, yeah, Leclerc took my job as the title is like the best food critic, blah, blah, blah. Whatever. Like, I'm happy where I am now, which is not there.
Yes.
And I guess...
And feeling scorned, Cruz Remier.
Oh, boom.
Starts a little food cart.
Yes.
Across the street.
That's what. It's that, there... And here we go again. Midpoint twist! You weren't here for that, but every idea I've ever had, the midpoint is like a twist that shifts your perspective. Anyway. I saw Parasite, and I basically never needed to see another movie again. No. So,
that's not true, Eric, because all movies are Max Keeble's big movie.
That's true.
Every... Yeah. So, the first half or and when I say half, I just mean before the twist. The first part, Celine Leclerc, this it's kind of an inciting incident, kind of a call to action. Leclerc, the new best food critic, condemns Ratatouille to the tourist track, and so, you know, Linguini and Remy are both furious. Ego is, you know, he's like the mentor in this movie, in that he's already got everything figured out. It's just a matter of teaching the protagonist. Leclerc makes Ratatouille, condemns it to the tourist track, and so Linguini and Remy are so miffed, and they're like, what is the new hot thing? And it's some new restaurant with wherever Cruz Ramirez rat is head chef, but they don't know that it's just a human. It's just some human chef. And so, okay, this is a little dumb now that I think about it. Oh no. But I'm committed. And then they make it like their mission to confront them. And either, you know, their mission is a little short-sighted. It's either like to talk down to the human chef, or just like maybe hire them at Ratatouille. The point is, like, they don't really have like a well thought out plan. They're just like out for like some petty kind of revenge. Midpoint twist, this new chef with the new hot and up and coming place idolizes Linguini, so their like revenge plan is right out the window. They're like, she's like, oh my gosh, you're Linguini Gusto, I grew up like idolizing your work and stuff, could you teach me something? And then lift off the toga, and then Cruz Ramirez are at, you're Remy the Rat. Like, you're a freaking legend. You're Remy the Ratatouille. And so there, the midpoint is, you know, Linguini, it's not quite, no, it's not, it's definitely not like a surrogate daughter type of thing, but it's definitely not like a romance type of thing. It's because teacher and student. And he's like,
because Linguini is married to Colette with 2.5 kids. 2.5 white kids. Yes.
It all ties back together somehow.
Time.
And then
is a flat circle.
And then up to the climax, between that midpoint and the climax of teacher and student teaching things back and forth, Linguini learns the lesson a little off screen that, you know, nothing lasts forever, and like, she is next, this new chef, and like, I'm happy to just, you know, play the part of a supporting role now that my time in the spotlight is over. And Remy doesn't figure it out until the climax of the movie. So we've got inciting incident, we've got climax, we've got inciting incident, we've got midpoint. Climax of the movie, how does that go? What is the event? I'm kind of thinking, I'm getting Rocky Balboa vibes, which I know y'all have seen. No, wait, that doesn't quite make sense. But the metaphor I was going to come up with, Tommy's in a fight, Rocky doesn't show up because this makes zero sense. So what happens is there's some sort of big cooking event. Maybe it's a critic again, and we just copy and paste that from the first movie. Maybe it's like a cook-off, but, you know, Cruz Ramirez rat and Linguini's Cruz Ramirez person need Linguini and Remy there. Only Linguini shows up, and like, Remy is in like denial, and he's like, no, I'm not helping my replacement. He's being petty about it.
Yeah.
And maybe he has a one-on-one with Ego, and, you know, I know he can't talk, but maybe Ego...
But he cannot.
But yes, maybe Ego has like a
like
speech.
Learned rat sign language.
Alright, I'm digging it. So what is this?
You know, I thought the same thing earlier. It's like, what? He's talking to Anton, and they're gonna get drunk together. Gonna drink wine out of a little thimble.
Yes.
Yes, I know. But all the things you've taught me.
Yeah, it's dope now. I'm surprised this went as well as it did.
How far are we?
We're only 30 minutes in. What?
So we are operating under the premise that there are other human
flesh
marionette.
Yes.
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 Because that was a plot point in the first Ratatouille that everyone took for granted. You know, he tugged on his hair and he moved, and everybody was like, "Oh, that works like that." Nobody was like, "That's bullshit. That's where's the science?" Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. It's a kid's move. It's a cartoon.
If we play that down as much as possible as like, "Oh, I'm doing the same thing," and that is the only explanation we provide, everyone will be fine with it. Guaranteed. So what is the climax? What is Eddie's $1 million cook-off? What is the High School Musical? What is Max Keeble's big move? At the end, what is the event performance showdown? And, you know, LeClaire showing up for some sort of review is fine, but I think that would make better as a backup. We need to come up with something more original. And she's going to be a molecular gastronomy chef.
Ah!
Guaranteed.
Of course.
Nope. Oh, and that's it. Oh, Remy doesn't know it. Remy's like, what the fuck? What is this shit? This isn't cooking. This is bullshit science. That's dumb. It's like this monosodium glutamate has no smell.
What is that rat? Like, really good at chemistry? It's the chem rat?
I guess.
Was raised in a lab. Alright.
Well, maybe that could be, like, you know, Remy goes from, like, appreciating food to Master Chef in, like, a couple weeks. So maybe she, like, got there exclusively on hard work. And that could be a big fight they have right before the darkest hour. Is she's like, you don't understand, like, I've done this since I was, you know, a little kid. I've done this since I was a smaller than I am now rat. And I have gotten here exclusively on hard work. I've known I've wanted this since I was, like, a baby. And Remy, like, goes off because he's like, I didn't know who I was until I was an adult kind of thing. And he's like, and that's so much worse. And then they're just like, you know, rather than explain each other's viewpoints, they split up because Darkest Hour comes after that. You know what I mean when I say Darkest Hour, right? That's a storytelling thing, is, like, right before the climax, right before the hero, like, rallies themselves decide to do the right thing. Yeah. Darkest Hour, they're at rock bottom, everything sucks. Okay. So basically all we're deciding is, what is Eddie's $1 million cook-off?
The ghost of Gusteau is appearing. And if you displease him, you will be cast into hell. No.
I liked the first part.
All right, fine. But the that ghost?
No, not really. Gusteau is going to judge them from the afterlife.
Judgment Day.
Jesus and Gusteau, side by side, are deciding who goes to
hell. The savior and the destroyer.
Is Chef Skinner? Chef Skinner? Is Chef Skinner involved somehow?
Chef Skinner? I don't know.
I just sort of assume he died.
Yeah.
He just has a look about him.
He just sort of screws off.
Yeah. He went a little loopy. He lives in the south of France now. He had enough money.
Well, okay, when I've recently decided structurally for the podcast, this is where the commercial break would go while we break, take a breather, and think of a title.
Thanks, Raid Shadow Legends, for sponsoring this podcast.
I'll never cut that out. Because they don't. Not really.
Shade Rattle Legends.
Thank you.
Alec, take a seat.
Thanks to Wizards of the Coast for sponsoring this podcast. I'd like to thank you and just sort of awkwardly get you to do it. Because I've been kind of wanting to play Magic the Gathering recently, because I want to, but it's really expensive, so if you could, like, send me some cards. Some
okay.
Flying ones, because it's the only way to block other flying ones. Yeah.
So we decided on the title Ratatouille 2, not on Ratatouille, because that's lame. I cited the reason, lameness.
Well, it also, like, doesn't look quite right phonetically because it's like ratatouille.
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 Well, the third one would be ratatouille. It that works in French.
Yeah, do we invest for Ratatouille 3?
Ratatouille.
And Ratatouille.
Okay, so...
this is
thinking,
the worst thing I have ever done.
I'm thinking that the climax of the movie is just LeClaire coming to the restaurant, I suppose the joint restaurant of Ratatouille meets the new up-and-coming hot joint. You know, like the up-and-coming place ran out of funds or an investor pulled.
No, I've got it. It's a pop-up kitchen.
Elaborate for those who don't know what a pop-up kitchen is. I definitely do.
Okay, so chefs who like don't have enough money, who aren't in restaurants, they'll do a pop-up kitchen. They'll appear like one night a week for one night in a space and have like a dining experience. It's very hip and it's very weird and young people bullshit. So they're like a pop-up thing, like that. Okay. That the blurb from LeClaire is the first real attention they're getting.
Okay.
And it's like this young up-and-comer astonished with her blobbity 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 blah.
I dig that.
That wasn't me filling stuff in. It's called the blobbity 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 blah.
I kind of like the... Okay, well, I was going to say there could be a little bit that the reason that, like, what buys Remy time to have his epiphany and then eventually get back to help is, like, ego stops and distracts LeClaire for a little while. Okay, it could be like, oh, from one critic to another, and she's like, get out of my way. And he's like, no. But I guess it would be a little better if Remy were off alone, darkest hour vibes, and then he runs into Ego, and Ego is like, oh, I just wanted to thank you for, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then he goes off on his speech about nothing lasts forever, and then that's, like, the epiphany Remy has of, I need to stop being a douche. So, okay, we've got the beginning, we've got the midpoint, we've got the end. One thing we are missing is fun and games, which is, Remy, well, in the first one, it's Linguini with the blindfold. It's the montages. And I guess you could do the same thing with a training montage of Linguini teaching Human Chef, Remy teaching Cruz Ramirez. But there would need to be something else in there. I guess there's like an espionage or like a spying montage of them trying to... Yeah, that could be a fun bit, is they don't know where the pop-up kitchen is going to be next.
So they're like traveling around the city.
Yeah, that would be fun. That would be fun.
Yeah.
And then a denouement after the climax. How do we ease everybody back into the real world, essentially? Storybook. The storybook being closed by an old guy in glasses.
Whoever gets their Cruz Ramirez person and Cruz Ramirez rat get their own restaurant jointly financed by Linguini and Anton Ego.
Mm-hmm. I like it. He's a small business investor.
He's a small business investor.
This has become a fun movie. Like, if this movie came out and it followed these plot points, I would approve of it. I wouldn't give it a 10, like I did Ratatouille, maybe. Probably. I'd have to wait and see.
Yeah. But it's an Incredibles 2 situation. Of course, it's not like every, but without the anticipation.
Yeah, nobody was waiting on Ratatouille 2. Pixar, hit us up.
Yeah.
Story consultant.
What's up?
That is the dream job. Story consultant.
Oh, yeah.
For real.
They pay us to, punch out 10 treatments a year, and they use 2 of them.
Hell yeah. That would actually be so dope.
Oh, yeah. That's the dream.
Anyway. Yeah, we're going to meme for a little bit. How much time do we have? Yeah, we got another, like, 10 minutes or so to just meme around. If you're only here for the story, go away. We're done.
Yeah.
Are we done?
Are we finished? Are we finished. A turkey? Are we a steak?
Stick a fork in me, because I want to die. You know, stick a fork in me, because I am done. That doesn't quite make sense. What is...
Wait, yeah, you're right. I've never heard that in conversation. I've only ever heard it, like, as a joke about being in, like, a hot area. Like, in a sauna, you know? Like, stick a fork in me, because I'm done. Rather than what it was meant originally to mean, I am finished.
Yeah.
Damn.
I'm saying it doesn't make any sense for a steak, really. It doesn't sound quite right to me. That stick a fork in me, like, start eating me?
Oh, no, like, to see the tenderness.
Oh, alright.
To open it up look, and see.
Well, you need a knife for that.
That's pretty true.
Cut me open, because I am... Nah, that's too dark. Now I get it.
Cut me open, because I'm done.
That's alright.
Stab me with an electronic
thermometer. I mean, that actually... Now my thing makes plenty of sense.
Yeah.
Cut me open, because I want to die. I feel like I've started something dark here.
Oh boy. I'm glad we didn't go with the Among Us horror movie this episode.
That also would have made Among sense us? With what I just said.
Oh gosh.
Among Us?
The end?
Yeah, the end.
The end. That's
Fiend.
Where it is.
The Fiend.
Fiend. Fiend.
Thanks for listening to this episode of StoryTap. If you enjoyed, make sure to leave a review on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. It helps a ton. Also, make sure to check out the podcast Story Break by Rocket Jump. It's basically what you just listened to, but more professional. And thanks again.